folks, to this edition of the Hagman Hagman Report, Hour 2, with Craig Sawyer. Craig Sawyer, Vets, the number 4, childrescue.org, and Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. Two very capable people addressing the issue of child sex trafficking, child sex slavery. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. This is a difficult subject, and most, and Craig said something earlier about the opposition he gets from two people, or two areas, the tech area. I understand that. And then there's subgroups to that. And of course, surprisingly, even some of the supposed good people. And folks, let me say this. This is what really angers me. And maybe this is not the right time to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. We have got people who do nothing but, follow this program, transcribe what we say, and look for areas to take issue with us. First of all, we're investigators. Broadcasters is probably stretching it. Investigative reporters stretching it, but we're investigators. This is what we do for a living. We are trying to provide you the information, our investigative work product, what we find in different areas. This area is a super, super huge problem. To understand the enormity of the problem, you've got to go back in history. Russ Dizdar understands and teaches at the various conferences the history, the Nazi mind control, the multiples. This is not just an easy, simple, I see a child, I want that child, I'm going to take that child, have my way with that child, and do away with that child. I mean, that happens, but it's not what you think. This is a huge problem. Remember the spirit cooking. Remember the Marina Abramovics. Remember the odd Instagram pictures and how all of this seemed just so strange. Well, that's the big part of it. That's the bigger picture. And there's a level of cognitive dissonance that you're not going to understand. Unless you understand the entire picture, you have no clue how deep, dark, and incisive this is. So on one end, you've got the historical context provided by Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net, and the spiritual component, the fight against the unseen realm. And then on the other side of the spectrum, this is just fantastic, I think. You've got Craig the Sawman Sawyer, who is a stand-up guy who's got the experience, again, who could, and I say this in jest, not really, but, you know, could kill you five ways with a straw wrapper, okay? He's got that capability, that the ability to formulate teams to assist in that and to go out and educate and infiltrate and inform. So this is the best of both worlds. And then you've got the others that we've brought on our program, the various other people who are reporting on this issue. And I just want to, in the introduction phase here, and thank you both for humoring me to kind of get into this. The fact that you've got years upon years upon years, you've got the Hempstead cover-up, you've got the Presidio affair, how many other things? You've got the Sandusky
Franklin
issue.
Cover-up.
The Franklin cover-up.
The huge Catholic church, and then there's just a recent story on that today, not to interrupt you, Dad, but the head of the Australian church was arrested on three different counts of sexual assault. That just broke.
That's right. And it's, and then the political component to this as well. The fact that people are saying, well, how come Donald Trump isn't doing anything about this? Where's the perp walk of Hillary Clinton and John Podesta, for example? And I say this within my constitutional right of opinion to say this. I've got to temper my remarks because otherwise, you know, you get sued. But the fact of the matter is, this is what we're, there is movement here, and there are arrests being made, but there's more to be made. There's much more to go, and these two gentlemen are the spark plugs in that engine of, shall I say, the engine of takedown. And when I say takedown, that might be a harsh word, but it's got to be that way. So when lastly, and I'm going to wrap it up with this, when people look at Pizzagate and laugh at Pizzagate and have people like Megyn Kelly, for example, in my opinion, call Pizzagate just nothing more than a conspiracy theory or a conspiracy nonsense. She knows not of what she speaks. And it frankly is doing a disservice to the children who are in cages. And I have to say this. Okay, I've seen the documentation Russ has presented. And let me tell you, it is not pleasant. I've seen the taunts that Russ Dizdar gets. I don't know how that man sleeps at night except by the grace of God. And I mean that in a very literal sense. And Craig Sawyer, I can only imagine, especially when you start poking at the bear, a big bear, the opposition that he gets. So two things. We've got to support the team that's coalescing here. And I will say this. We've brought on people, not just Craig and not just Russ, but others who are contributing to the war effort. This is a war, and where they're contributing to the war effort. This is a huge problem. It's a spiritual problem. And if you don't keep the spiritual component involved in this, you're not going to understand the physical problem to this. So yeah. Having said that, Joe, I'm going to turn to you, and then you can kind of bring us back home to, and you know,
and no, the, fix things. What you just said there, the historical problem, Russ, if we could, if you could give us a small overview, the pedophilia problem that we see with the elites and power brokers and entertainment industry in our society is nothing new. But my question to you is, you know, from Babylon to Rome, has the pedophilia been as rampant then as it is now?
Yeah, if you go back, I mean, going back to Sumer, going back to the Old Testament, you remember Moloch. I mean, the whole thing was taking the babies and throwing them in the hot frying pans to kill them. So the dark side, when people embrace the dark side, they're convinced that in doing this, including sex rituals, it becomes the norm of the underground. It becomes what they do. I mean, there are sex rituals. There are ways of transferring demons into context of that. There are sex rituals in the satanic side, pictures we could show you wouldn't want to see. What they do to a physical female body, a male body, and the things they do. So the dark side loves perversion. It's one way in which they attack God. It's one way in which, and everybody knows in the satanic underground, anybody who's dealt with demons know the demons love the more innocent, the more the blood. They love this. They love the torture. They love the pain. I think it has something to do with their utter, absolute hatred of God, that this is some way, because they can't scratch God. So if they can take innocent children, if they can take in rituals and or using them for years and years and years in the sexual side, then that becomes a way in which they strike out at God. This is demonic, decadent pleasures. We've got to understand how dark that side it really, really is. If they could come and take and rip your family apart, your children apart, and destroy them, that's why in rituals they show in the satanic the raising of the demons. And the darker the ritual, the more horrific the sexual abuse they do to the child, the blood and cutting and destruction of the body, the cannibalism is unbelievable. It really is. But it goes all the way back. They did this in the Old Testament. They were doing this to children. They were doing this in the context of family bloodlines, and then tribe bloodlines, then entire nations like the Moabites. That's what they were. Now, with the biblical prophetic theme that this underground, and I say Luciferic in the, and let me define that, the real blood and guts people, the people that know who they're serving, they know that it takes blood, they know the rituals are a part of that, they celebrate it. They honor the so the rituals are elaborate. Dressing little girls up in bride's gowns when they're six making them as pretty as they can, only to be put on a table to have a sexual encounter with the priest, because Satan's going to possess them, and that's the marriage to the beast sexual side of this. And when you have satanic ritual abuse on the scale of the numbers, knowing that every single girl has had to go through that ritual, knowing that boys and girls have had to go through, by the time they're 20, if they go to 20 without any intervention, they have been through over 1,000 rituals. They have been sexually abused hundreds and hundreds of times, including the transference of demonic into their lives through the sex rituals. We've confiscated the literature from the underground at times, let alone hearing the stories. But here's what I'm going to say. It's more widespread now than the Old Testament. And if we believe biblical prophecy and it gets darker and darker and darker, sex rituals and blood rituals is the number one way the underground brings demonic powers up and over to the side. It empowers the agenda. This empowers, if we can understand, it empowers the Antichrist. It empowers the entire new order that's coming. It empowers all of that. So when we see this network and we're understanding, we're barely scratching the surface. We're seeing the tip of the shark fin. We haven't seen the whole monster yet.
Yeah, you know, it's we read about the child sacrifices to Moloch, and a lot of people equate that with abortion. And then when we look back at the origins of Islam with Muhammad, there is pedophilia involved there. And I was thinking and wondering, like many things the satanic elite do, passing down, you know, different traditions orally and whatnot to their families and to their ancestors, for mechanisms of continuing to control power in societies and to show their devotion to Satan, how rampant pedophilia was in the old days. Now, obviously, it's, in this world of technology and, there's so much more information, whereas, in Rome, we'll say if there was a Caesar who was involved in stuff like that, they probably would have been able to keep it, rather hush-hush. But today, it's just, that exposure, the possibility for the exposure is there.
Yeah, well, Joe,
there you go, Craig. Go ahead.
They've beat us over the head with us being tolerant of it. They've enjoyed a very permissive environment for that here for too long, and they want to use our own ethics against us and attempt to and say, oh well, you need to be tolerant of it. Well, yeah, we're tolerant of everything except for that which is evil and destructive and harmful for the innocent. We're not tolerant of that, nor should we be, or would be one of them. So I think, the good thing now is it's starting to creep out. You know, the sunlight's starting to come out on this issue. People are starting to see it. And I think part of what I wanted to do with Veterans for Child Rescue is kind of, if you've ever seen in a battle, even if you haven't been in the military, maybe you've seen it on a movie, the one side might be losing and somebody just gets an idea of how they can do something that really just makes a difference and pick up the flag or a flamethrower or a machine gun and just run right up and follow me and just go guns blazing and fight for all they're worth and show people, hey, here's what we need to do. And everybody gets up and goes, hey, well, if he can fight, why can't we? So I think that's something right now that I see is it's in the beginning stages of a turn in the tide of this battle for the youth of our nation. I think the exposure, some of the actors that are speaking out, on Big Hollywood and the pedophilia going on there and abuse that's been kept quiet for so long, a new legitimate DOJ that's starting to prosecute and a president that's not okay with it. I think it's going to have a cascading positive effect. And I think the sooner we expose it, the bigger we expose it, the more we show people how it works and how to prevent it, the better it'll be. And the sooner we can prevent more victims, and sooner we can start healing, the healing and recovery of those who are captive now. So, I'm encouraged. People ask me how do I deal with such a dark subject? I tell them, you know, I'm really encouraged by how many other good people are standing up against it too. You know, I tell them how motivating it is for me to see someone like Russ Dizdar and others that are in there rescuing the kids and fighting the good fight and spreading the good word and you know, working with the girls with equine therapy and the boys and helping them recover and the counselors. And so I think it's a time to celebrate the good and not be so worried and beat down by the bad. Like Russ explains and teaches people, you know, the Christians, the believers, we've got the authority. We just need to use it. And right now, Americans haven't even been aware that there was a problem to stand up against. I think that's job one. Look, we want to deny an enemy, a hostile entity, any sort of ability or secrecy to do what they do. It's one of the parts that I saw when I was in the Federal Air Marshal Service. I saw a crook that was convicted, or not convicted, but he was fired for gross mismanagement and retaliation. Well, before that, he'd been a high-ranking government official, and he felt himself quite invincible. And he was arrogant, hostile to all of his employees. Well, it wasn't until a couple of his guys went to the press without authorization that I saw that man scared and panicking because that he didn't control anymore. He could control other people within the federal government that were crooked like he was. And so that's why he felt untouchable. Well, now by removing this veil of secrecy and denying these hostile child traffickers the cover of darkness and denying them the ability to parade around and act like influential and honorable men, we can show the world what they really are and rip that from them. And I think that's why they're so desperate to keep that from happening. I think that's why those entities that have tried to deny us crowdfunding capabilities and social media capabilities are so desperate to suppress us, because we're going to rip the lid off of that which is evil and make a brighter tomorrow for the kids. And so I think it's a thing of all us just uniting and realizing, hey, good doesn't always find itself. Russ pointed out that's what God wants. But I think he expects us to pull up our bootstraps and help ourselves and rescue the kids, you know, and do the good thing. What's to stop us? We know our authority, so let's get at it.
All right. And I agree. We 100% agree with that. Now, gentlemen, are we in a position to talk specifics? And I want to say that we hear and we've heard over the last several months, it's been discovered, of course, Laura Silsby, as that relates to the Haitian earthquake relief effort, where she was arrested or detained, stopped, taking 33 children into the Dominican Republic, in a rescue situation. Whoops. Not exactly orphans. And not exactly a rescue, apparently. Okay, that situation, the Clinton Foundation, the Hillary Clinton State Department, where on social media there's a video taking place where there's an investigation or video that's being promoted about Hillary Clinton or the Clinton Foundation's relationship to or some questionable activity with respect to trafficking. You've got Jeffrey Epstein. You've got all of these other political and non-governmental operatives, actors, political actors and non-governmental actors. Can we talk specifics about any of these? Are we there yet in terms of talking about this, or is this something better left for a closed-door conference table type setting? Russ, I'm going to ask you that first.
Well, no, I think it's good to talk because again, public awareness then puts the pressure. I sat down a few months ago with a federal officer down in Columbus and another federal officer. We've been in touch with another one, and we're going to probably be engaged with another one coming up. One of the things, and let me tell you about a case in Pennsylvania, Doug, that we've talked about in Allentown. We canceled a trip there for a couple of reasons. One was the detectives wouldn't call us back for the second time. Lewis McAuley, that's still on missing, exploited children. I can send you the video. Right now, I'm willing to send you the video. You can vet it. You can put it up if you want to. We have the victim that flew in from Oregon, and told the story for 9 years, have told the story consistently. We contacted the detectives there. The original detective, retired, contacted us. He was so excited about the case, he wanted a Fed guy to come in. He said there's a task force to conclude this case on Lewis McAuley. So just a week or so ago, we had a whole team ready to go, including the person that was the eyewitness to the murder, ritual murder, killing, sexual abuse of little Lewis McAuley, and maybe even know where some body parts are. So we contacted and talked to a detective, and they told me that the detective in charge would get back with me to set something up. We've not heard a word. So here's what's important in all this. Remember again the prayers. I'm saying as an investigator, you know, on this side of the fence, we have to have a spiritual cutting edge, because even the dark side interrupts the investigative side. There are ritual, and I know some people are going to have a hard time understanding this, but I'm convinced of it now after all these years. There are rituals that are done just to summon powers to quail, to silence the investigation. Go back to the Presidio with once U.S. Intelligence Director Michael Aquino. Investigations of child pedophilia, child ritual abuse, child sexual abuse, the Army went after it. He went to Wedelsburg Castle in Germany, the Himmler Castle. He did what's called the Wedelsburg Working, a massive ritual, summoning powers. He put out a letter. We believe the letter. Then we found the letter. One of our guys found the letter. And we believe that the ritual was done to cover his powers to be drawn, to cover his tracks. Michael Aquino was not charged with anything. He's retired and out there now. And all of the victims that were they're still outraged because of the injustice. Same with Franklin and others. So as you know, with Pizzagate and pedophile gates all over the place, and we know very well, dealing with law enforcement for all these years, the number one thing is evidence, trace evidence. You know, they want the evidence. One chief told me, Russ, just bring us the bones. Okay. So we wanted to bring, and I'm going to give you, and flash drive whatever you want, and I'll give it to Craig if he wants it, the woman that I did a very, and just lately, again, we did the interview with her, how she explains the murder, the sexual abuse, and the killing of a little boy, 6-year-old boy, that was abducted from the streets of Allentown. So if we want to talk about the public cases, yeah, they have to be investigated. Remember the Mark Dutroux case in Belgium?
Very well.
Hardly nothing was done until 300,000 Belgians came out on the streets and pushed the government. Now, a few people went to jail, but did they catch the entire ring? No. Everybody knows it went way up in the government. They're dealing with spiritually protected rings. And this is why I'm saying, join with the best investigative tools, the most, you know, tactical things that can be done with great intercession and prayer. Both of those have to blend in breaking into these things, like the Sandusky case. Did he do what he did? Yes.
The Sandusky case has some, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think it's important to understand for people to kind of in their minds, and perhaps we can ask our audience for assistance on the Sandusky case to the extent, Russ, you feel comfortable with the individual that we're trying to bring forth.
Right.
Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. And so like the Sandusky case, because I've been into Pennsylvania 180 times in 25 years, because we've dealt with so many victims in Pennsylvania, we've been from Erie to Lititz, all over, because we know the satanic underground, the trafficking underground. There's some things I'm not going to say right now that you and I know about, but look back at Sandusky. We've been to the location where Deputy Attorney General, Roy Guy Carr, we went to the spot where his car was left, the Susquehanna River right there next to it, where His hard drive was taken out of his computer and thrown into the river, completely ruined. They couldn't do any forensics on it. So he's out to expose the ring. He's out to expose Sandusky, you know, the first time before it all broke loose. He's out to indict him. He's out to do all this kind of stuff. He has all this information. He has all this content that he's going to come out with. Where's Roy Guycar? He went missing. They don't know where he's been for over 10 years. Somebody in that whole ring, that's where there's power. That's where there's going to be threats. Somebody within that ring designed, you know, to meet him. They took him. Where's he at? I assume he's dead. All the information he had was removed, thrown into the river. It's gone. He's been gone for some time. So I'm going to say that the Jerry Sandusky case is only been scratched into. Everything shows me in that case that it's a ring that goes statewide and probably out of state. And there's more victims to come forward. And it does involve the darker side, like in your book, Stained by Blood. It does involve the guys in the robes, even though they haven't brought that out, as they have brought it out in the Dahmer case. So powerful, strong, incessant prayer with dogged investigation and fearlessness going in. I don't care anymore. We need to scream at the dark side and say, here we come. And we need to go. If God is for us, you know, who's going to stand? We know that God can step in. When Pharaoh decided to go after the people of God, that was the wrong choice. You know, God knew what to do with Pharaoh. So I do believe that God's going to come in like this. And so the cases we see publicly in the news, we need the and I read your article that was really great, Doug, because if they go too fast and throw a few things out, it gives people time to back everything off, and we got to realize how sophisticated they are in cover up and in being secretive. This we're talking like drug lords and mafia secrecy, physical, let alone the spiritual side of it. I'm telling every investigator, to the feds that are reconning the show and the rest, there has to be prayer, incessant prayer, to help break through. And you have to understand the criminalistics, the signs, the symbols, what you find at death sites and on the body and the rest of that, what that's all about. It goes to motivation. So I think that what Doug and Craig and Joe, here's what I think, and I'm just going to throw it out there. I think that you guys should all come to Canton, Ohio around November 10th. I think we should put on a training. Doug, remember the one we did here a few years back with Dr. Del Griffiths?
Yes.
We need another one. We need another one with you teaching, with Craig there, with myself there, with Sherry, one of our top people here on the healing and helping side. We need to do something that brings exposure and then tactical, spiritual, tactical, physical training for the crowds that we want to talk about. If it's only even 200 or 400 that show up, why don't we initiate a training? I'm just throwing it out. I'll be willing to host it here, and let's do a training that will, you know, if there's Christians out there, if there are audiences out there saying, well, okay, I want to get involved, let's do some training. It will show, we've got slides. We can show them ugly, you know, we can show them slides. We can show them evidence. We can show them the kind of criminalistics. We can show them the spiritual authoritative side that's necessary. We can show what we've been doing. There's a lot of things we can do. So I'm just saying, I'm inviting you publicly. Let's do a thing, conference that does nothing but train and bring the best of the content and puts it out there and gives it to many people that will be recruited and be launched out bold as a lion.
We certainly accept that. And Craig, I'm sorry, Joe, I didn't mean to overtalk you, but Craig, how do you feel about that? Because I think go ahead.
I'd be all over it. I'd be all over that. I think I agree with Russ. There is a lot we could do. We could empower a lot of good people with something like that.
And your organization, Craig, and you've got the during the break you had mentioned something, and if you want to mention this, it's fine. You've got the Russ Dizdar. He's got the He's got the, I'll just say he's got the Bible, he's got the prayers, he's got the spiritual, weapons. You got the battle rattle, in a sense. Not that Russ doesn't, but you specialize in that. It's kind of interesting as well.
And Russ, you get the ribs and the chicken.
There you go.
It'll be a party.
I got, listen, if you come to Canton, I got places to take you. You'll never forget.
I'm sure. Yeah. And all of this Craig, go ahead.
What you're driving at though is goes back to another point that Russ made previously. This is a great joining, meshing of an eclectic and dissimilar skills in some ways, but very similar in others, and joining and kind of melding those for one common good for this fight. I think it's divinely inspired. It's very powerful. I can't wait to see what we can do with it. I know good things are coming. I see it coming.
Yeah. I guess to Craig or Russ, we have, in this world, you talked about the criminal organizations. There's a number of reasons that children are kidnapped, and then trafficked for sexual reasons and other reasons. You have, people who do it for money, who will kidnap the children and sell them for money. Then you have those who will do it for their own, deviant sexual, desires. And then you have those who do it for the purposes of the satanic rituals, which involve both the sexual aspect, but also the bloodletting and the murder. The Catholic Church, Russ, we see constant scandals coming out of the Catholic Church. We don't ever hear about deaths or sacrificing of children. It's mostly sexual. Mm-hmm. How is the Catholic Church able to continue to get away with this, and by allowing a priest to be just given to a different district? Why do they decide to keep it in house instead of going to the police? And then a follow up question would be: say they did put everything out in the open when they caught this where it was happening. Do you think the Catholic organization would look different?
Yeah, I think it would, because I think that we've scratched the surface of what's really there. Now, that there's thousands upon thousands globally that's come from the Catholic system forward about the sexual abuse. The courts, because millions and millions and millions of dollars has been expended in judgment against the Catholic Church, and they've given out millions to victims, which is fine. But they also know that when they're going to court, don't talk about the satanic side. This is very, very important for us to understand. The priests that are in their mid-80s, late-80s are dead now. Many of them were Nazis from the rat lines that hid within the Catholic system and became fake priests and began to operate their agenda there. You're correct that some of this is just nothing more than sexual, decadent, addictive, perversion stuff. Much of it deals with making money. And then there's the satanic appeasing the demon side, and it all mixes together. In the Catholic system, William Kennedy, who was commissioned by Malachi Martin to write and name Cardinal Law, name the names of the ones that are doing this, and he did it in the Catholic sense because he was a Catholic too, but he's dead now too. Malachi Martin, in bringing major exposure, I believe he was personally taken out. I believe maybe William Kennedy, I'm not sure about him. But he brought in the mix of the sexual abuse. He was trying to uncover it, name names, name cardinals, name bishops, and everything else. And but he tied it into the black rooms, the robes, the satanic side, exactly like your book, Doug. And that's global. I'll give you one story of the Catholic system in Germany. They decided in one city in Germany they would put out a hotline. They announced the hotline, that they would run a hotline for anybody who's been victims of sexual abuse or ritual abuse, that have been damaged mentally, emotionally by, priests and whatever else. They opened up a hotline. They shut it down in the first couple of hours because the numbers of calls were so overwhelming they couldn't handle it. That's Germany alone in one city. So we again are seeing as many stories as we had, and I recommend at least researching the film series The Keepers. Just came out Netflix, called The Keepers. I watched all 7 hours in one night. It's all about massive exposure of the diocese in Baltimore, the killing of a nun to cover up the pedophile sexual stuff going on. A great documentary series that showed the victims, unveiled things, pointed to who, but it still didn't get them quick enough. It still didn't stop it early enough. That's one city. I don't know if there's even one city that doesn't have it going on. So you have a mix within the Catholic system. You have men that are supposed to be priests. What do they do with their sexuality? That's a tough thing, you know, to do all your life, to go celibate. And it's clear that not all of them, nor popes, have. It's not over. We have in our data study, we have in our investigative caseloads, a cardinal that flies in from Rome that comes to a city that one of you people live in, that participates with others in high-level rituals and high-level human trafficking. We think we have a picture of him. We've sent people into the church in that city, the Catholic Church, to do a little investigation. And be honest, we want him. We want him. And that's all I can say about that guy. But, Joe, that's huge. Just that alone, that system. But investigating that system, when you go to some of the oldest of priests, you're going to find the Nazis involved. You're going to find that it's not just the moral sexual pervert it is, but there's a connection that William Kennedy found, that Malachi Martin found, they called it the smoke of Satan in the Vatican, that it's all through the Vatican. They called it that. Catholics called it that. That there's an underground system there that is pedophile oriented and yet inseparably connected to this dark side and the men in dark hooded robes.
Yeah, very interesting. And you know, just to think the people in the top positions of power, whether it's of religion, of economics, of politics, all tend towards this spiritual darkness and wickedness that involve the most depraved things that none of us normal humans would ever even consider, which lines right up with what Scripture says, that, you know, there are two seed lines. There are that of the Lord, and there is the line of the wicked one. And to me, there's no other explanation or reason that any normal person can do this, that it would have to be somebody who inherently had that, is from the wicked one, from the devil. And it is just it's so sad to see not only that this has had a chance to come out in the open through the pedogate, the Pizzagate thing, and really gain worldwide attention, and how fast that was stifled out by these master manipulators of the media. Moving forward, when we're talking about ways to infiltrate these groups, so often, more often than not, we see, when we get these busts in the news, the people who have been sharing child pornography, or we get low-level people, and it seems that
lot of low-level people to date.
Right, and we never get the ringleaders. We never get the groups of ringleaders. What would it, is there? Obviously, there's a code amongst these types of criminals that it's a code of silence, as they have their own language, they have their own symbols, to cue each other into their activities. How do we go about infiltrating this? Regular people listening to this show, and a second question to that is, how do groups, if at all, like the Freemasons or these other organized secret societies that are kind of in and out of the public view, do they tie into this at all? I know it's kind of two separate questions.
Well, on the infiltration side, they're really strong at observing us. You got to remember, when you're dealing with the secret society side, they're more attuned to seeing you. And I mentioned on my radio program earlier about this whole thing about and again, this is another subject brought into this. It needs to be brought in at some point, astral projection and so forth. And all of the underground, the real coven stuff, they use supernatural abilities to thwart investigation, to thwart you. You cannot, as a Christian, infiltrate underground Luciferian orders. We one time infiltrated a house, the Black Sun Camp in Ohio here, Master Dan, Aleister Crowley's group. In order to go further into that group, and our goal was infiltration to like the spies of Israel, see what's going on there. But as a believer, you can't compromise anything. So we're invited to go to Chicago to go deeper into this underground. But here's what they do. Here's the thing that they do. They bring all the new recruits to an area, and they have somebody that's like going to do a reading of a story. You're given a part to play, and you have to do whatever that reader is telling you to do. So if you have to go over and have sex with a guy or sex with a girl, or you have to stand up and denounce Jesus, and so if you don't do these things, you're out. You can't. It's very hard. I mean, when you have law enforcement guys that infiltrated, you know, biker groups and or, you know, other groups like that, it's really tough when they get, you know, to go in there. Because as a believer, I can't part. We had one of our guys go into an actual ritual, a pagan ritual. They thought it was going to be deeper. A federal officer's wife took him in, and it's a real spiritual, you know, thing. You can't participate in it as a believer. How are you going to do that? So how are you going to infiltrate a pedophile ring? Because usually when you're infiltrating drug rings, you're going to do some of the stuff. Morally, I mean, you just know you can't. So I'm going to say again, victims, when they're getting all their healing, become good tools when they're willing to lay out the information, to take you places, to show you the underground, to take you to the bones where they're buried, like we've been taken many times. And then you're right, Doug and Joe. This is something our team has talked about. We've been years and years and years with the victims and maybe a few connected in that level. We need to get to the Bohemian Grove leadership. We need to get to the Mother of Castle, you know, Darkness Castle. That we need to target them in prayer, that like Saul of Tarshish, there's got to be some that God will so engage them and bring them down that they come out with the real evidence. And I want to say this. I believe this is from a lot of prayer. This is based on Ezekiel chapter 8. I believe God wills a ripping open of the underground. I believe that we're going to find digital, video, other stuff. I believe Guy Carr might have found that. I believe Kathleen Kane, the Attorney General in PA, might have found that. I believe we're going to find some stuff that's going to be able to become... It's going to be a battle. But I believe we will, and it may come from some of the top guys. I mean, look at Jerry Sandusky. Did he turn on anybody? No.
No.
Nobody. You know why? He probably fears for his life. He probably fears for his life. So we need to see, we need to prayerfully target these kind of individuals. Saul of Tarshish stood so ugly and hard against Christ and against the church. But when God steps in, when Jesus stepped in and brought him to his knees, he had a choice to make. Now his choice was to turn to Jesus and look what he became. And he was able to expose all the fake religion, that kind of stuff. But, that's what needs to be. We need to. We talked about this in our team meeting the other day, last week, about targeting the primary perpetrators and really, really engaging and praying that God is going to intervene and break through and get a hold of some of them and bring some of them out.
Amen. And well said, by the way, Craig. VetsForChildRescue.org. What can we do? What can our listeners do to best help you, your organization, your up and coming, shall we say? That's not, maybe I said that wrong. I mean, Russ has been deep into this for numerous years. You're coming at this from a different approach. What can our listeners do to best help you? What can we do to best help you in your organization?
To get us in play fully, we need funding. So if people go to our donate page, that's a necessary aspect of getting us going. I'm not a wealthy philanthropist. If I were, I would just go and make all this happen on my own. I'd take out my checkbook and strike a check.
Is there, in addition to the
high ranking crook?
Right. No. Okay. I'm sorry. You kind of cut out there, and I thought I just heard silence. I apologize. I didn't mean to talk over you. In addition to funding, which is critical to any operation, what about intelligence? Are you accepting intelligence from others?
Well, we've got the connections that we need right now for that, and we've got locations and cases that and relationships that we are going to work on for now. As we do gain more funding and we can bring more people in, we will have more people to be that catcher's mitt, so to speak, and process a lot more of the investigations and the cases and the tips. Right now, it's just been a flood, and we're a handful of good people trying to get something good built from nothing. So we're not at that level yet. But once the first docuseries hits and people see what we can do and start learning, then it can grow, and we will grow into a much more powerful organization to have a lot more ways to offer people to fight next to us and contribute. And that's what we want. We want to give everybody a chance to do something, and we just have to build it all. It's just a matter of manning right now, manpower in these early days.
Okay. Greg, I've seen stories that, and maybe this is state by state, or maybe it could be nationwide. Are there central databases that document the children who have gone missing, whether by state or age or location?
There are, but there's a lot of, but it's a bit disjointed and not optimal from everything that I'm learning. And so one of my teammates has the background capability and tools to build a new national or even international database to track a lot of this and tie it all in and have it be much more inclusive, much more effective, modernized, be just a better tool all the way around. So that's something, that's an example of something that we've got the ability to do as we grow. That's going to have to be on pause until we can grow into that. For now, but there are databases out there. It's just that they need to be improved. A lot of people are frustrated. The civilian researchers, they try to make reports to different organizations or law enforcement, and they're blown off. And you know, that's, we can, as a nation, man, we're capable of better than that. So that's what I'm interested in, and building, having something legitimate that people can contact and submit their research, submit their findings. Look, some of these people, they know the cases. They can win a court of law right now. They've got overwhelming evidence. They can't get federal or local law enforcement to even listen to them, whether it's because they're overtasked or undermanned, or they're undereducated on this particular crisis, or they're corrupted and don't care or can't intervene. The bottom line is there's room for improvement. So I'd like to be a part of that improvement process.
And I know the shining star that you are, that you will be, or that you are. Russ, Craig, we've only got about, believe it or not, about 7 minutes of our program left. I just want to restate our commitment. November, if that's what you want, let's do it. Let's rock. Let's plan it. I think what we need to do is we need to bring people into the fold here, so they understand exactly what you're, well, maybe they don't want to see what you're seeing. To the extent that they should. Yeah, and I think we need to do this because we need to fight back, because if we don't fight, no one else is going to. Craig Sawyer and Russ Dizdar and us and others that, you know, in our orbit, don't do this, ain't nobody coming to the rescue. Sorry about that, but it's the truth.
Look, Doug, look at where being tolerant and turning a blind eye, look at where that's gotten us. Look at this crisis and how large, how pervasive it has grown, and the harm, the unthinkable evil that's happening. So yes, sir, you're right, man. Now's the time. If not us, then who?
Exactly. And I want to say this before time runs out. Folks, Russ Dizdar and Craig Sawyer spent 2 hours of their night tonight. They could have been doing so. They could have been golfing. They could have been spending time with their families, loved ones. Instead, they're here. And I just want to say thank you, both of you, for being part of this program.
Absolutely.
Because you could be doing it, and I'm sure there's a whole list of things that you'd rather be doing, but you're here with us, and we understand the sacrifice. And folks, I want you to understand the sacrifice that these two have made. Go ahead, Joe.
And Brandy, I hope you don't mind, I just got a message from a longtime regular listener who says, "Hey, Joe, I want to thank you and your dad for such great guests. While I've been listening while cleaning the kitchen, I had to stop, weep, and pray for the little ones. But I want to thank the brave men such as Russ Dizdar and Craig Sawyer, who risk life and limb to rescue these children out of the clutches of evil. I will continue to pray, and thank you so much." And that's just one message, and I'm sure there's plenty more like that in the emails.
Okay, we got 2 minutes. 2 minutes each, roughly two and a half minutes each. Who wants to go first to kind of close this out? Russ, should we toss it to you?
Put you in the hot seat. Yeah, I'll just real quick and first of all, Doug, Joe, thank you again. Good to see you, Craig, and I can't wait till we. I'm excited. I'm excited for what's going to happen. I know that God's hand is all over this. I know His providential hand is all over this. I will send you guys out tomorrow morning a basic proposal invitation about a Canton conference training type thing or whatever else. Then we can just talk about it, add to it. That will be huge if we step out and do that kind of thing. And would like to ask anybody out there that can write the $1 million check, send it to Craig, get him going, get this film done, get this stuff done, and put the prayers up to guard Joe and Doug and the programs, and keep us covered in prayer. That's number one. But I know there's people that can just simply do what, take care of the stuff that needs to be done. This is huge. This is big. And I believe the hand of God is in this, and I'm glad that I'm allowed to be a part with you guys.
Well, us too, Russ, and I know you've been doing this stuff for a long, long time, and really looking forward to that in November, because more people need to get trained up and informed on what's going on and how to spot it, and again, the spiritual things, the spiritual authority that we have to combat these things.
Just real quick, I'm sorry. Just a funny story. Joe and I visited Russ, and he said, "You want to see some documentation?" I'm thinking, yeah, two banker's boxes of documentation. It's like a flipping semi, okay, of documentation. He said, this is just some of it. It's like, really? Okay, I mean...
It's like the underground Pentagon vault.
Exactly. I mean, anyway, go ahead. Craig, going to toss it to you for closing us out here, my man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my organization saw just last week what good people can do when they unite and stand up and speak their voice. So I think, we had a big tech company tried to confiscate almost $50,000, about $47,000 of our funding, for 6 months and tried to break contact with us, wouldn't communicate. Well, people, were able to beat them back, and we got the funds released, within 48 hours once we actually stood up and started speaking out. So I think, it's a small lesson learned, for us as a nation to stand up together, the good people. And we can beat this thing back. We can beat it back through stronger legislation, stronger enforcement of existing legislation, and being the eyes and ears for good out there and watching what happens, and watching over our kids, man, and each other, and uniting to stand up to beat this back. I think we'll have a brighter tomorrow for it.
Amen.
It'll be worth it.
Yeah. Boy, amen to that, man. Yeah, Craig Sawyer, Vets for the number four. That's Vets the number four childrescue.org. Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net.
Yeah, don't forget his radio show's on right before us, 6 to 7 Eastern here on Global Star Radio Network. Shatterthedarkness.net presents the Ragged Edge Radio Live.
Okay, now, Russ, we'll hear from you tomorrow. Craig, we're going to be in touch. I just want to say thank you, gentlemen, both of you. Thank you so much for your gift of time. And let's keep on fighting the fight, exposing the deeds of darkness, and getting the children back. By the way, just one real last question. We got about 60 seconds. How many, Russ, you probably would be the person to ask this. How many children missing that we could put a number to, if you know the answer to that question right now, that we've got, you know, that it could be part of this?
Well, you're into the thousands, but I don't have the, you know, missing exploited children to have some of that numbers, but now that's in question. You're into the thousands.
Okay. All right. Thousands. Yeah. Somebody had asked me, via email, and, that's the, what we know about. And don't forget the undocumented people coming in here. And sure. That's a whole different subject. Both of you, thank you so much. Russ, Craig, God bless you both. Bless thanks you. For, thanks for joining us tonight. All right. That'll do it. All right, folks.
See you guys.
All right. See you later. Craig the Sawman Sawyer, he's a guy that I've got a lot of respect for. Joey and I have a lot of respect for, and of course, Russ Dizdar. If you go back and listen to this program, and we'll segment this out as well, we've got.
Yeah, that way you segments. Can share it with others. And, this was the last Wednesday, I believe, Pastor Langford wasn't going to be with us. His uncle had passed away a few weeks ago, and then he had a number of things that he had to attend to. Usually, just like on Tuesday nights in hour number three, we were joined by Stan Deo. Wednesday nights in our third hour, we are joined by Pastor David Langford, and we'll have to touch base with him because I know we've missed the last few question and answer shows that we were supposed to do with him.
We've got a lot of questions build up.
We might see if we can't maybe at least take half the time in his next appearance to go through some of the questions. Because I know that's something he really wanted to do, and I know that's something that our audience really loves. And another quick word, folks, don't forget about the Greenovative Challenge. Write a short story or your short experience at a time when you did not have power and you absolutely needed it, and you can win on July 3rd. Alan Riggs is going to come on and announce the winner of his great portable power G-Mag rechargeable batteries.
It's a cool prize.
Batteries with everything you need to recharge the batteries.
Where do you send
the salt and the water?
Where do you send it?
Greenovative.com and under the contact us, the email's right there. Send them there. Go to greenovative.com and send them there. And Alan Riggs will be announcing the winners on July 3rd. Also, there is a 15% store-wide discount. You use the coupon code Hagman. That's Hagman. For the coupon code, and anything on that you find on the store is 15% off with that coupon code. So don't forget to enter the contest for your chance to win, and 15% everything off store wide with a coupon code Hagman.
Todd from Global Star Radio, I want to say thank you so much for everything you do. BTR, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all. Please say a prayer for us. Support us if you can. If not, word of mouth. Also follow us on social networking. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Let's stick together. Let's win this battle.